Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to the KRFY Morning Show here at 88.5 KRFY Panhandle Community Radio. And I'm Susie Prez, one of your co-hosts, and I'm here with my other co-host. Hi, good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Susie.
It's Chris Bessler over there, smiling away on this beautiful Tuesday, July 14th morning. We have guests in the studio. We have Terry Fortner from Bonner General Health. You are the Director of Community Development. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And you have a second title.
I'm also the Executive Director of the Bonner General Health Foundation.
Right, and I'd like to actually talk about that a little bit further into the show and about what the foundation's about.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Dual Love jobs.
Yeah. Okay. I think a lot of us wear many hats, either at Bonner General Health or just various businesses throughout the community. Yeah. Many of us do many things.
In this town, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's hear about the weather from the National Weather Service and a few other things before we get started to hear about what's going on over there at the hospital. Today, from the National Weather Service, it's currently 61 degrees. We can expect mostly sunny with high near 80, light southwest winds becoming southwest, 5 to 9 miles per hour in the morning.
Staying southwest.
Yes, yeah. Staying southwest. Yeah. Tonight, mostly clear with lows around 52. Wednesday, sunny with high 82. Light winds, 6 to 11 miles per hour. Wednesday night, mostly clear with low around 54. Pretty much the same cooling trend going on here, and I think everyone's enjoying it.
Yeah, actually, it's been pretty nice. We had a nice little rain last night that kind of freshen things up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Could use a little bit more, but we'll take what we can get at this stage. Sunrise this morning was at 4:59 a.m. and sunset will be at 8:43 p.m. And actually, new moon is tomorrow. I have a couple little moon facts for you. We had a full moon on July 1st. We're going to have a full moon again on July 31st. A second full moon in the same calendar month is called a blue moon. But here's something I discovered is that we actually had the lowest full moon of the year on July 1st. It means it's lowest in the sky. And actually, I noticed it myself, but I didn't make that computation at the time. When the moon is really low in the sky, it gets an orange cast to it. And
it's beautiful.
It was really kind of a very orange moon happening at the 1st of July when we had the first full moon. The moon phase is 29 and a half days, so blue moons are a little unusual since they have to fall both within a 30 or 31 day month. So that's why we call the two full moons to be the second one to be a blue moon.
Well, how exciting is that?
The 31st. That's very, very exciting moon news there. Lake level is at 2062.45 feet. That's full pool, and it's projected to stay there through the rest of the summer, actually.
All the boaters are happy. It's so beautiful out in the lake. Yeah. We're so lucky.
Yeah. So what else has been going on around town, Susie?
Well, let's see. I'm seeing that the fire down at, they were calling it the Cape Horn Fire, is a little bit more under control due to the weather.
Mm-hmm. And the efforts of those firefighters.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. We have to send out a great big thank you, because that's a lot of hard work, especially when it was really hot. Yeah. And they were out there still plugging away.
And hazardous. Yes, very hazardous, actually. it's now 60% contained, and the weather is definitely helping there. Other things going around town, a little bit of sports news or athletic news. They had the Schweitzer hill climb race on Saturday, and a guy named Jamie Yannick, he's actually a local bike racer. There were 22 racers in the hill climb. They have to climb up Schweitzer.
Wow.
What kind of bike?
Well, they're using road bikes, yeah. But he did it in 33 minutes and 8 seconds and totally left the rest of the field behind. It's pretty amazing to climb that. It's about 11 miles, and he averaged over 15 miles an hour. Going uphill. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
This is pretty human steep. Powered.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty notable. I wanted to bring it up. There's actually a good video of that. It's both on SandPoint Online and SandPoint Reader. If you want to see a 2 or 3 minute video of Jamie And here's the amazing thing. He left all those guys behind, but he got a flat tire in the last half mile, and he rode in on basically on his rim.
Oh my goodness!
Still not recommended. And still maintain that pace.
I definitely want to see that video. Where is that again?
That's on sandpointonline.com as well as sandpointreader.com.
Great. Yeah.
So
I noticed that the Sandpoint Reader is kind of having an online Facebook news center or something. What's that about?
Well, the Reader just rolled out their new website, sandpointreader.com. They've been building it for the last 3 months or 4 months since the Reader started back up. So now they are posting up daily news there. It's another news source for local folks to go to.
Nice. I know that we're going to have Ben and Cameron on as guests coming up.
Yeah, in August, probably.
Mm-hmm. That'd be
and
nice.
The two guys that are the whole staff of the Reader, Ben Olson.
They're doing a great job.
They're producing a lot for two guys.
I just want to see them on
Wednesday night editing that before they send it to the printer. It must be amazing.
Yeah, if you go by 10 or 11, you'll probably still see them because it's a late night for them. It's actually Wednesday night is the deadline night for them. And they have an intern this summer, so that's actually helping.
I think one of the nice things is that our town can really appreciate two news papers, a weekly and a daily, with the Sandpoint Bonner Daily Bee. Mm-hmm. So it's really great.
Yeah, this town, for some reason, it has a lot of media for a town of 7,500.
And it has a community.
I think it's great. Yeah. Right? As a community development person for the healthcare organization, I think it's great.
Yeah.
Lots of ways to get the word out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so we are speaking today with Terry Fortner. She's the Community Development Director as well as the Bonner General Health Foundation Executive Director. Thanks for coming in, Terry.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me. I know you think these are early mornings, but my mornings start between 5:30 and 6. So
piece of cake.
I'm good. Yeah.
So the move into the new medical office building is pretty well complete now?
We're just about there. We've got some staff training that's occurring right now and over the next couple of weeks. And then we should have everyone in who's going to be in the new place.
And we're going to break the news here, but we have
breaking news.
we actually have a grand opening date now set.
Yeah. Yes. August 22nd, which is a Saturday. We will welcome the community and our friends and family. You know, we have a lot of partners at Bonner General Health, 10 to 2 in the new health services building, which is the new medical office building adjacent to and attached via SkyBridge to Bonner General Hospital.
Yeah. So, and the grand opening is going to be an open house, basically, and a chance for people to tour the whole facility.
Yes. Yeah. So we'll have, you know, some activities for kids, and primarily, it's an opportunity for us to open the doors and invite the community in. We'll have department directors and managers and staff leading tours of the area so people maybe become a little better connected with not only the services but the technology that we're currently using in the new space. Mm-hmm. It's pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, that we've been watching the building rise from where Taylor Parker used to be a long time ago.
That's a major event when something like that goes up in a small town like this. So we have been watching. Mm-hmm. What was the date again for the grand opening?
August 22nd. We'll do a 10 to 2. We'll have lots of ads and we'll do some radio ads.
We'll
and
make sure it's well publicized.
It will be well publicized because we really do want to invite the community. And it's not because of the nature of the business, leading tours Monday through Friday, it's just not conducive to the work environment or to patient care. And so our ability to have everyone come in on that Saturday and take a walk through and have the resident experts, if you will, answer questions regarding the different care that will occur there is kind of neat. It's a great, I enjoy these types of things, but I'm always up for a good party and this should be a great one.
Yeah, and the whole town will be invited.
The whole town's invited. That makes it even better.
And it really is a community event because it represents an investment by Bonner General Health in the community. And one thing I was really happy to see, it represents an investment in our downtown because I know at the point where Bonner General Health was feeling some growing pains, the officers were looking at where's the best place to have the hospital.
Right. They were. And that was actually several years ago. pardon me, where we actually went through a pretty significant exploration of where would the best location be. And, of course, a part of that process included soliciting community feedback. And the community was pretty clear that they enjoyed having their healthcare organization in the downtown corridor, if you will. And at that point, once that decision was made, it was, okay, so we know we have to grow and expand these services to meet the growing and expanding community health needs. What's this going to look like? And so, you know, the purchase of the land from Parker Taylor and doing all the things that we needed to do to prep that for construction, the partnership with Parkwood Business Properties, I mean, they are just an exceptional partner for Bonner General Health. And then overall, the support, again, from the community as we looked at what do we need to have in that location, what makes sense in creating efficiencies for patient care and the delivery of patient care, and what can we add technology and people-wise that will enhance that patient care experience. And as you know, I don't want to, you probably have a lot of questions to ask me, but since I'm in that vein, one of the things that I think is most exciting to many of us is, you know, the advent of the Women's Imaging Center. And actually shares an enormous suite with Sandpoint Women's Health. And so it really is becoming one-stop shopping, if you will, for women's health. Mm. And we're very excited about that. And most of all, we're very excited about the addition of tomosynthesis or tomosynthetic breast mammography. And so we're going from 2D mammography to 3D mammography. So the pictures are clearer. It's just, it is, again, I mean, there's one healthcare organization in our region who offers 3D mammography, and you would have to drive 75 miles to get that. And so it's right here in our community for you.
Excellent.
So I want to get back to the various services that are going to be, that are already in the new medical office building. But tell us a little bit more about the partnership with the developer, because Bonner General acquired the land,
right?
But the partnership with Parkwood is that they're actually building the building.
Yes, so we own the land, they own the building. We are the tenant in the first two floors. The third floor is not quite filled yet. It is medical office space. My understanding is that Heart Clinics Northwest, which is a Kootenai clinic, will be going in up there. I don't want to say the date because in the event that there's something, something happens,
dates,
and it might be delayed.
Kind of squishy,
dates can
yeah.
be a little tricky yeah. when you're doing these big construction projects, but Heart Clinics Northwest will be on the third floor. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, that is the view right there. If you have an opportunity during the open house to hop up on that third floor and take a peek at the mountains and the lake, it is amazing. I'm a little dismayed that the community development office isn't on the third floor in that space.
With a big corner office big windows towards the lake. Yeah.
Something tells me I should probably, you know, deliver patient care to have that kind of luxury, right? Yeah. But we are very fortunate that we do have an office in that, in the new services.
Your personal office is in the new building
it's
now.
It's on the second floor, And as is our human resources department and our patient financial services department.
Now, those departments are moving from the existing hospital building?
Human resources was located in the existing hospital building. Community development and education, we were in the Page House, which is on Sand Creek. And then our patient financial services department was actually located in the Forum, which is
the former Forum.
The former Forum, which is where McDuff's is now.
Yes, behind McDuff's.
Right. So I've heard it's been kind of fun for me as a new girl in town to hear all the different iterations of all these buildings, and I love the fact that they've been renewed and recycled through the years.
So really, the new medical office building is an opportunity to collect the various services that Bonner General has under one roof now.
It is.
So let's talk about the specific services that are in there. You already mentioned women's imaging services, but actually it's an important step up for Sandpoint Women's Health as well.
It is, right. And Sandpoint Women's Health has a beautiful space, very efficient. When they planned these spaces, and as you know, Chris, because you went on a tour.
Yeah, I took the tour during construction. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they planned these patient care spaces with the patient experience in mind. And so privacy and confidentiality and all of those things are all a big part of how the spaces flow. Lots of consultation space, you know, wide open waiting room so you're not all feeling like you're sitting on each other's laps. Some of our patients have someone kind of sitting in their lap when they're waiting for their appointment. So it's just a great space. And of course, it's adjacent to the Women's Imaging Center, as we said earlier, which I think is really great because in the event that you need, you know, ultrasound, or if it's that annual appointment that all of us women of a certain age have, you know, you go in and you can schedule those things so that you're there once and you're not making two or three trips sometimes.
Was the idea to expand and provide this upgraded service center, we'll say, based on current need or also looking to the future? Because when I think about this upgraded women's imaging center with a 3D, you know, you would drive 50, 60, 100 miles to get that kind of service.
Right.
And so you're looking to the future and really exploring, expanding the service area.
It's all of the above, mm-hmm. really. You know, we have a critical mass of patients who currently receive, you know, mammography services or women's imaging services at Bonner General. And part of what we were looking at is based upon the feedback we've received from patients and families that it would be really nice, especially between October and, say, March, to not have to travel 95 or go Highway 2 to have certain services. And so, again, we're listening to what the community is asking for. And it really is how we are looking to better serve the community. And we also acknowledge the fact that it is so much easier to heal close to home. If you don't have to have, you know, a hospital stay 75 miles away or 60 miles away, and your family can be two blocks away or a couple of miles away, your quality of care goes up exponentially because you're able to have more of the people closest to you around you. And so, again, it's part of just nurturing that quality of life and trying to help patients and their families work through certain healthcare crises or situations. It just creates a better road to recovery.
Excellent. Yeah.
And actually, about a year and a half ago, you recognized the fact that Bonner General is playing a bigger role in providing health services to the community. And you actually decided to rebrand from Bonner General Hospital to Bonner General Health.
Right.
And that's because of this expanding role that that what we used to call just hospitals have experienced. Mm-hmm. It's not just a trend here locally, but I think nationally even.
Nationally. Yeah. I think we're figuring out that we are better serving our communities if we focus on health and wellness and not sickness. So people automatically tie sickness or illness with a hospital because typically you don't go there if you're well. And so the opportunity for us to really say, we're here as your partner in health, and here's how we're going to do that. And health doesn't necessarily mean you don't have anything wrong with you. As an example, we have many patients who attend our anticoagulation clinic, and you know they're perfectly healthy, happy, wonderful people, but they're on anti-clotting medications that have to be monitored relatively closely. So their ability to lead a better quality of life or be healthier is really tied directly to their ability to have good monitoring. And it takes some burden off of our local physician practices too, because those are scheduled appointments. And if we can have them come in and see our pharmacists and have, you know, real-time changes to medication and dosing, it saves the time in the physician office, but it also saves the patient time because that's what our primary focus is, and we have the critical mass to do it and do it well.
Mm-hmm. One of the questions I had, Sandpoint Women's Health was kind of an independent health group. Mm-hmm. And they are now in this center. Are they now part of Bonner General Health?
They are. They're one of our allied health clinics.
Okay.
And so we have Bonner General Immediate Care. We have a clinic in Bull River, Montana, the Bull River Clinic. And we have Sandpoint Women's Health. We have a psychiatry clinic. So we've expanded based upon the needs of the community. And We acknowledge that sometimes having one organization do the scheduling and do the billing, it frees up the physicians to actually be physicians and the care providers to be care providers so that they're not worrying about all of the backroom functions that come with owning a medical clinic, which is a business just like every other business. Mm-hmm. And it really enables them to do what they do well and to be who they are. Mm-hmm.
But to be real clear, Bonner General is still our critical care hospital.
We are still a critical care hospital. Yeah, and we are a critical access hospital, mm-hmm. which for those of you who don't know, that means we're a 25-bed, licensed for 25 beds. We'll never go up. We'll never go down. We're a critical access hospital, full service, 24-hour a day, 365 days a year emergency department. We see a tremendous number of patients, and we're seeing even more. And then we do, of course, have Bonner General Immediate Care in Ponderay. Mm-hmm.
So with the new medical office building, will there be down the road some different configurations in the existing hospital building?
There will be. And that's actually the process that our leadership is going through at this moment in time, is identifying, you know, if you think about it, like you're setting up dominoes, you know, you start to work on one thing and something else will change and something else will change. And so it's very important as a healthcare organization. I mean, these are expensive projects, if you will, important, but expensive. And so we want to be sure that we're making good, efficient, solid plans going forward. But we do know, we acknowledge that our emergency department needs to be revamped, and we've got some work that needs to be done in-house, meaning inside of the hospital with our patient care spaces. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they're all on the list. It's working through how we prioritize mm-hmm. those and then funding them. Mm-hmm.
So the two buildings are connected by Sandpoint's. I think we could say it's not actually the first skywalk. There was once a skywalk at Econi's, actually. But then it went from the hotel over to the restaurant. But it wasn't really well used because once you crossed the street, you still had to go down the stairs.
And outside.
And outside.
Oh.
Yeah. So this is definitely our first covered skywalk. I'm just wondering, have you had anybody, like kids running on that skywalk? Or just this kind of a neat experience in our small town, a new skywalk?
Well, and we have had. I actually saw some little people running back and forth. They were with their daddy waiting for their mom to finish an appointment at Sandpoint Women's Health. And that's been exciting for me. I love little people, and it was really kind of fun. You hear these little giggles and screeches coming from in the hallway, so you poke your head out the office, and they're racing and coming back, and the dad's mortified. Knock it off!
They want to encourage that.
No, we don't want to encourage that, but it was really kind of cute, and when they, you know, peeking up and over mm-hmm. to see all that they could see from the sky bridge. But actually, that's part of what'll happen with the community open house. And the grand opening, if you will, is that we will be dedicating the Skybridge to Jack Parker.
Jack Parker, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Jack Parker has been a huge figure in the hospital. He's
been a board member for 50 years.
50 years.
So as you think about Jack's role with Bonner General Health and the Board of Trustees and 50 years of really bridging healthcare with the community, it's just a natural fit.
That's kind of interesting that it has grown into that space that his automotive sales company once owned.
It is. Yeah. The coincidences are not lost. Yeah. That's for sure. It's really kind
of neat. So that's going to be the Jack Parker Skybridge?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool.
That's great.
So I want to remind our listeners that you are listening to 88.5 KRFY, the morning show with Susie and Chris. And today we're speaking with Terry Fortner. She's the Director of Community Development, as well as the Bonner General Health Foundation Executive Director. Thanks again for being here, Terry.
Thank you.
So we talked a little bit about first of all, the big news is that, and you heard it here first, that the grand opening for the new medical office building is going to be August 22nd. That's Saturday from mm-hmm. 10 to 2.
Yes.
And there'll be much more out in the local media about that as the day comes closer. But let's talk about some of the other health services that are now located in the new medical office building. And an important one, I think, is performance therapy services.
You're right. It really is. Well, and many of you probably would remember it as performance physical therapy. And then we had Bonner General Health Rehabilitation. And so with the opportunity to move the rehabilitation services out of the hospital and into the new health services building, came a great opportunity to change the name. So you'll notice that if you go to Priest River or Ponderay or in the Pine Grove Medical Building or at our new Health Services Building, you'll notice that it's Performance Therapy Service. So they have one brand now. It's the same great therapists and same great care, but
What kind of services are provided with at Performance Therapy Services?
So it's your basic physical therapy, occupational therapy. We have hand therapy, which is in Pondere. We have a new AquaFit. I think, was it put in when you toured?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yeah.
So they're actually seeing patients in the AquaFit. I hear it is fantastic. So
it's like this large tank, and somebody that has, I don't know, is it for lower extremity care, basically?
Primarily, if it's an opportunity to do physical therapy with buoyancy. And so it alleviates a lot of pressure on joints, on bodies. You know, you don't have you can run in there and you don't feel like you're pounding the pavement. And people who perhaps are incapacitated due to injury or something, we have a sling that'll carry them in and they can continue to do their workout. It's just a different type of physical therapy.
Right.
But we also have speech therapy, and we have our Big and Loud program, which benefits Parkinson's patients.
And do you have audio therapy, hearing? No.
Speech therapy.
Speech, mm-hmm. Basically the same.
And so, spine and shoulder rehabilitation, orthopedics, mm-hmm. Musculoskeletal conditions, foot, ankle, hand rehabilitation, balance conditions, those are all the sorts of things that Performance Therapy Services address. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, in sports injuries, mm-hmm. I mean, I know we're about, I don't know when the football team starts their two-a-days, but we'll probably see an uptick in big football guys.
Yeah, it's kind of
therapy.
Seasonal. You get that in the fall, and then you get to start to see the skiers.
The skiers, yeah. And the soccer and the baseball. And we do an awful lot of sports physical therapy, getting patients rehabbed and back out.
At the other at the main hospital prior to this switchover, you used to have exercise classes. Is that still going on?
We still have cardiac rehabilitation. We don't have the community exercise classes any longer.
Mm-hmm. I think you can go to many of our gyms in the area.
Lots of opportunities mm-hmm. in this community, which is really great. I mean, it's really a fitness and health-oriented community, mm-hmm. so that's mm-hmm. fantastic.
And other services that are now located in the new medical office building?
Well, the wound care center is there. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Fisher, who used to see patients right next door to rehabilitation in the main facility, they have a beautiful clinic space and are continuing to see wound care patients in that space. Mm-hmm. And that is a service line that's continuing to grow. So wound care, for those of you who don't know, many times patients have complicated wounds that just will not heal. And so Dr. Fisher has created the Wound Care Center to help with kind of the weekly visits or the ongoing care to help patients heal. You know, there are many reasons that wounds won't heal. Sometimes it's a disease. Sometimes it's, a compromised immune system that inhibit the body's ability to heal on its own. As you know, if I scratched myself, it would heal on its own probably with Neosporin and a Band-Aid. But some people do have more difficulty with that. And so this is an opportunity to keep an eye on it and really help them heal. And I heard from a patient here about a month ago that said her loved one had a wound for over a year, and was so grateful for Dr. Fisher and the Wound Care Center because in, 4 or 5 months time, completely healed and back to everyday activities. Mm-hmm. So it can be quite debilitating.
To have a wound that won't heal.
To have a wound that won't heal. So it can create other health mm-hmm. issues.
Are those typically like the result of maybe a surgery? So it's some kind of really big thing, or is it like somebody just, cuts themselves while they're chopping wood, or is it all over the map?
It's all over the map, really. And again, it could be, the wound could be from just about anything. What happens is that individual's body just doesn't have the ability to really heal it quickly on its own. And so the wound care center really helps mm-hmm. with that.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I wondered about before we get to the foundation and all information about that is health education mm-hmm. and community education, because that can be a precursor to, it is part of good health. And this is a health center. What is going to be offered in that way? Is there anything?
Well, for the most part, we primarily hold the basic, BLS, ACLS, the PALS, which are life support, pediatric, basic life support, advanced life support, those types of classes. Mm-hmm. I believe now that we have kind of a bigger space and we do have an education center, a couple of classrooms in the new health services building, that we will be looking at opportunities to expand some of that. Perhaps the foundation will want to go back to its 12-week offering of, healthcare classes.
Mm-hmm.
So
on various topics.
So
yes.
That will come up in the future. We'll hear about it in various avenues.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Absolutely.
So what else would we want to mention about the new medical office building? Are there any other services there that should be mentioned in there?
That's pretty much it. Infants, women's health, and women's imaging services, human resources, patient financial services.
The wound care clinic.
Wound care center, and then we'll also have the anticoagulation clinic.
That's right. That's
and IV therapy will be mm-hmm. in there, people who need infusions.
Well, tell us a little bit more about the anticoagulation clinic.
They're in and seeing patients.
Okay.
And, for people who perhaps they're on typically you'd call it like a Coumadin clinic.
Mm-hmm.
So people who are on blood thinners need to be monitored relatively closely for obvious reasons. I mean, you don't want someone, to mm-hmm. have too much of a blood thinner and be prone to hemorrhaging. And so it's just a really great opportunity for us to help our local physicians manage those patients in a pretty meaningful way.
But does the clinic deal with people that have the opposite problem where their blood won't clot? That's what, a hemophiliac condition? Is that part of this service?
No, it's not. That's probably something that they would need to continue to see their primary care or their specialty care provider.
Or that might actually fall under the wound care as well,
it could.
Sort of thing. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we've been talking about with Terry Fortner, the Community Development Director, and Bonner General Health Foundation Executive Director, about the new medical office building. The news is that we're going to have a grand opening on August 22nd, so mark that on your calendars. And Susie, we want to come back and talk with Terry some more about the work that the foundation does, but I think it's time for a musical break.
Okay. How about the number one song in 1966 on this day?
Boy, I always just go straight to the Beatles.
Well, that's what it is.
Okay.
And it's kind of in honor of what happened last Thursday night over at the Byrne Building, put on by Keoki.
Okay.
And it was about writing and books and authors.
So a book fair with a bunch of author
meetings.
So
that's your clue. Okay. What do you think it is?
I'm blanking.
It's the name, kind of a description of a book.
No.
Paperback Writer.
No, Paperback Writer.
Okay. It was the number one song in 1966.
And we have some Paperback Writers in the room there, so I should have known that. Yeah.
Yeah. So we will be back and continue our conversation with Terry Fortner. After this song, it's the Beatles, Paperback Writer. And that was Paperback Writer by the Beatles on this day. It was the number one song in 1966. And we're here in the studios of KRFY. And Chris?
And we're speaking this morning with Terry Fortner. She's the Community Development Director for Bonner General Health. And she serves a second role as the Executive Director of the Bonner General Health Foundation. And Terry, we wanted to talk about that a little bit today. Tell us what the Bonner General Health Foundation is. In this town, actually, even though it plays a large role, it's probably not all that well known.
It's possible. I hope to change that.
Yeah.
So the easiest way to look at the foundation or to think about the foundation is as the fundraising arm for the hospital, for Bonner General Health. And so with that, the role is that as an advocate, an ambassador, and the philanthropy department, if you will, of the hospital. So, for instance, you attended the Heart Ball this mm-hmm. past February, and the funds that we raised during that time will go to the patient care environment, the environment of care at Bonner General Health. years past, we've fundraised for the Women's Imaging Center. That was actually the proceeds from the Heart Ball in 2014 went a large check. They wrote a check for $75,000 to the hospital to help pay for the Women's Imaging Center. So a lot of advocacy, a lot of ambassadorship types of work. You know, we have a night at the festival. It'll be August 14th. So come and see our booth. We'll be handing out first aid kits again.
And I've picked up one of those in previous years. Yeah,
pretty handy.
Yeah, they are handy.
I had to use mine this weekend. I was really grateful that I had one in my car. But really, primarily, what we're focusing on at this point is what are the next steps for philanthropy for Bonner General Health, and we have a really dynamic, fantastic group, the board of trustees for Bonner General Health Foundation. Really dynamic, very progressive and forward-thinking. And as a result of that, you know, we've started an endowment with the Idaho Community Foundation, and we should be, the plan is to have that endowment fully funded by 2016, the end of 2016.
And what is the financial goal for fully funding?
Well, fully funding in their case is $50,000 in your fund, but then we're talking about what, on an ongoing basis, what's the percentage of our proceeds or our net revenue from our activities that will go to continue to build that endowment, because you need those funds for future projects. Mm-hmm.
So to clarify an endowment for people that might not be familiar with that, you put the money into basically investments. In this case, it's held by a third party. Is it the Idaho Community Foundation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you can't get back at the principal. It's locked away, but the interest that it throws off is then available for the organization to use in their charitable activities.
Exactly.
And as you build that principal up through the contributions that people make to the endowment, it basically ensures the long-term health of the organization.
It's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's a great thing for the foundation to be getting started now at this point.
It was time. And the foundation's only 8 years old. And so the amount of work that they've done and the dollars that they've raised to date is pretty phenomenal for a very young organization.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, our largest event of the year is actually the Heart Ball, which is scheduled for February 15th next year.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that.
Yeah, but February next year.
February.
Yeah.
The Saturday closest to Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great opportunity to get the community together. And it's a lot of fun, and we've raised a lot of money. We'll continue to do that, hopefully. And other than that, we really focus on, you know, getting the word out regarding Bonner General Health and the activities that happen within Bonner General Health.
And anybody can donate at any time. You don't have to wait for the Heart
Call
Ball.
Call me. I will help you.
Yeah.
We make it easy.
Yes,
very easy to become a donor to Bonner General Health.
Yes, yes. And actually, in our society where we got this big baby boom group that's moving through, I know there are some boomers now that have assets, and they're starting to think about, well, what's the best use for my money? You know,
right.
Pretty soon they're not going to need it.
Right.
Eventually, none of us need any of our money or assets, and it's great for people to think about, well, how can I distribute this money while I'm alive, or even as a legacy gift, in a will.
Right.
And there have been some important contributions just in the last couple of years to nonprofit organizations around here as legacy gifts from people that have passed on.
That's right. And that's actually one of the things that we kicked off at the beginning of this year was kind of a legacy campaign. And we're in the ground level stage of planning, if you will, and really starting to get out and talk with people. You know, deferred gifts or planned gifts those are not made by seminar, symposium. Those are made by one-on-one relationship building. Grateful donors typically are individuals who were grateful patients. They're grateful for the service and the care that they received. They believe and have faith in Bonner General Health as our community's healthcare organization, and they want to see it thrive and continue to succeed and have upgrades in technology and program and care. And they want to give to those types of things. And if anyone's interested, you can contact me in the community development office. I'd be happy to talk about it.
And so go ahead and tell us how to get a hold of you.
265-3390.
Okay, phone number, and there's information as well
on the website.
On the website, yeah. Which is
bonnergeneral.org. We have a brand new, beautiful website, and it's up to date, very colorful, and it's actually updated weekly, so it's pretty handy. It's a nice site.
Easier to navigate now and find information. So,
and you have an important event coming up. That's kind of why we brought you in. And tell us about that breaking news again, Chris.
The breaking news, once again, is that the new medical office building for Bonner General Health is going to be, it's actually already open and people are going in there for the various services. Right. But the grand opening with the open house, the opportunity to see what it's all about is coming August 22nd. That's a Saturday.
10 to 2. Come join us.
And walk over the sky bridge.
The Jack Parker sky bridge.
Sky bridge. Will there actually be a dedication on that day?
There will be.
There will be. Okay. Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah, we're excited about it. I mean, it's something that's different. And I think that the building is beautiful. It's aesthetically pleasing. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, nice. I know that we've had lots of compliments on the availability of parking for patients to come in and have services, which is fantastic. But it also allows us, I mean, this is a big first step in upgrading the current Bonner General Health, the hospital itself, and the services and the environment of care, the old facility.
Yeah, so exciting things in the future still to you come bet. With Bonner General. Yeah.
We really appreciate your coming in, Terry.
Thanks for having me. Yeah. It's always fun to come in and talk with you.
And find out what's going on. To me, this is just really exciting. And the big procrastinator that I am sometimes, I have to make my appointment with Sandpoint Women's Health. And now I get to have it over there.
That's right.
I'm really excited. Yeah. Now it's inspired me to make that appointment.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they'll look forward to seeing you.
I know.
Soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, get in there, Susie.
I shall. Okay, well, thank you again, and we hope you enjoy your day. We're going to continue our day here, where we have a song queued up, but we will be back to talk about the community calendar and a few other tidbits. This song, okay, it's the number one song in 1967. It was by the Associations. Any clues? Any
The Association, they did something on Mary, is it?
This is Wendy.
Wendy. Yeah. Okay, excuse me.
Wendy. Okay,
Wendy, Mary.
Mary, Wendy.
You were so close.
So this was the number one song. And thank you again, Terry. And
thank you.
I'm always a big fail on these song names, so you got to stop even asking me.
Okay, I will not do that anymore. This is The Associations and Wendy, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned. And that was Wendy by the Associations, and that was the number one song in 1967. Mm-hmm. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY, and this is The Morning Show with Chris and Susie. And what do we have going on, Chris?
Well, as usual, in Sandpoint, Idaho, our hometown, on the edge of Lake Pendere, we've got a ton going on. If you go to the community calendars, there's probably 30 things happening this week at least. A lot of those are entertainment events. A lot of them are civic events. One of the big things going on is coming Thursday. It's the annual Festival at Sandpoint Art Unveiling. And that's at Dover Bay. It will be right there at the location right next to Dish at Dover Bay. And the artwork this year, every year the festival puts out a poster with original art on it. And it's actually kind of a thing for artists to get asked to do the artwork for the poster. It's a bit prestigious. The art this year is by Lucy West. The event starts at 5 o'clock. The unveiling of the art itself is at 6 p.m. And once it's unveiled, there are signed and personalized posters that are available for people that come for only $10. So it's a chance to support the festival, see the new art, and have a neat... just a neat social occasion.
And you can find out more information by going to festival@sandpoint.com.
Yes.
And this is a really fun event. I did go 1 year, and I think it was Scott Kirby's picture, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it is just the people come out. It's this moment where they unveil the picture, and we see it for the first time.
Yeah.
Very exciting. And that's this Thursday at Dover Bay.
Yes.
I'm not seeing, 6 p.m. Okay.
No, 5 p.m. Oh. The unveiling itself is at 6 p.m.
Okay. Come early and
come
mingle.
Early. Yes.
And talk to friends.
Yeah, and enjoy some. There'll be hors d'oeuvres, and I think there's a no-host bar. Another big happening this week is a play called The Red Hot Patriot. It's at the Panada, and it's at the Panada Little Theater, actually. Showtimes are at 7:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday, as well as there's a matinee at 3 p.m. on Sunday. And this is a story that captures the life of Molly Ivins. She was a Texas columnist and a very well-known figure among the political commentary folks in our country, and a journalist. She was very outspoken. She had quite a large personality. She died not that long ago, probably 5 to 8 years ago. I don't have that number in front of me, but she left a large legacy, and this is a comedic. She was very funny as well.
Yeah.
So this is a comedic play about her life.
A real firecracker. She grew up in conservative Republican Texas in a family of very conservative Republicans, but she was a liberal Democrat, but really didn't go so much to her political ends, but really spoke her mind. And this is a play called Red Hot Patriot. The actress or actor is Miriam Robinson, directed by Ron Rigoni and co-produced by Ron Rigoni and Patricia Walker-White.
That's right. It's actually one of the first productions by the Panada Playhouse, which is a new production group that's associated with the Panada. It's actually part of the Panada, and they're producing their own plays and live performances. Bit of a change of pace, actually. The Panada's been a group that basically maintains the Panada Theater for other community organizations to use, but now they're getting involved in doing more of their own productions.
Yep, that's new. And tonight there's a Sip and Shop fundraiser at the Ponderay Winery at 301 Cedar Street. This fundraiser is benefiting Lake Ponderay Waterkeepers, and it's from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10% of all proceeds from the Tasting Room, Gift Shop, and Bistro Rouge will be donated to Lake Ponderay Waterkeeper. It's a nonprofit organization whose mission is to protect water quality in Clark Fork Ponderay Watershed so our magnificent waterways remain swimmable, fishable, and drinkable for future generations. So basically a really good fundraiser for a very good organization. And you can call 265-8545 for more information.
Yeah. And there will be wine consumed, so there's a, a side benefit of supporting the group. Some other things going on. Sandpoint Farmers Market happens tomorrow from 3 to 6 p.m. at Farman Park. That's every week. There's also tomorrow, there's a Idaho Poor Authority is hosting a Lift a Pint for the Panada from 4 to 8 p.m., where a portion of their proceeds are going to go to the Panada, as well as there's a silent auction, and there's going to be some raffles and other fun things. Also Wednesday, there's going to be music on the patio. That's with at the Ponderay Winery again. And this one is featuring David Lane Walsh. That's from 5 to 8 p.m. David Walsh is going to be playing Latin-inspired music with his flamenco guitars. It's a little cultural thing there.
Another thing that is happening that I actually was at last week, Charlie Packer and friends are back at the Eichardt's Pub every Wednesday night. That's live music with Charlie Packer.
Yeah.
All I can say is it was sweet.
Yeah, Charlie is an institution in this town.
Mm-hmm.
Other things going on Wednesday. There's a ton of things going on Wednesday. There's KP&D Pint Night at the 219. There's Magic Wednesday at Jalapeno's Restaurant. That's happening every Wednesday. I'm not sure if it's every Wednesday, but it's happening, yes, every Wednesday through September from 6 to 8 p.m. And resident magician Star Alexander will be there performing sleight of hand magic right at your table. which is very cool for
kids,
but really cool for adults, because you look at that and you say, how did he do that?
I know. He's good.
He's either cheating or he's magic. There's 5 minutes of fame also on Wednesday at Cafe Bodega. It's an open mic. It starts at 6:30. It's for writers, musicians, listeners. Everybody's welcome. What else is happening in our... Oh, here's the big event coming this weekend is the Schweitzer Mountain Music Festival and Northwest Wine Fest. It's up on the mountain. That's on Saturday, July 18th. There's going to be 3 bands lined up. There's going to be a barbecue, arts and craft vendors. And, of course, it's a wine fest, so there's going to be a lot of wine. There's going to be 20 Northwest and regional wineries. We'll be offering samples of 80 different vintages of their wine. There'll be all the usual summer activities that are happening up at the mountain with chairlift rides and zip lines and frisbee golf. That's going to be happening all day Saturday at Schweitzer.
3 great bands. Did you mention those?
Owen and McCoy.
Milonga and Strictly Business.
Yes.
Just so you know. And I just want to say before we sign off here, we're getting kind of close. This Thursday, July 16th, you can tune into the KRFY Morning Show with Jim and Jack. Their guest will be Jim Zubenbuehler. He is one of the organizers of the Long Bridge Swim. So they'll be talking about that because that's coming right up. So that's at 8 a.m. on 88.5 KRFY Community Radio for North Idaho. And next Tuesday, I'll be here with my Garden Talk friends, Emily Levine, Pat Wentworth, and an intern that is visiting from Minnesota. We'll be sitting down to find out how the cooler weather is affecting our gardens and what to plant now for our fall gardens. Mm-hmm. So that will be next Tuesday on the morning show.
So
you won't be here.
I won't be here.
Oh, okay.
No, I'll be gone. My question would be, so is the cooler weather good for gardens?
I think it's good for the greens, and I think the tomatoes got a lot of hot sun, which they like, and I think everybody just takes a little break and can set fruit, is mm-hmm. what I heard,
mm-hmm.
and the pollination is easier for some of the things that need pollination.
Mm-hmm.
It just gives everyone, meaning the plants, a little breather.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I'm thinking. We'll find out on the morning show next Tuesday.
With your garden experts.
Yes. Yeah. And let's see, we just have a few minutes left. I'd like to hear this song that's coming up, and I'll tell you why in a moment. Anything else you want to say, Chris?
No, except we're in the middle of summer. It's beautiful out there. So get out and enjoy this place we live in.
Yep. And more information about all the events that are going on in our beautiful, wonderful community can be found on Sandpoint Online and KRFY.org.
Yes. The complete community calendar with all the details.
Mm-hmm.
As well, you can listen to KRFY, the live broadcast from the stream on KRFY.org. And we have podcasts of all of our morning shows. So if you've heard this and you want to pass along to somebody, hey, you could hear that show on the website. You just go there, click to listen to podcasts, and you can hear the recordings of these shows.
That's very good. And thank you for all that help with our website, Mr. Bessler.
Yeah.
This is Woody Guthrie's song, This Land Is Your Land. And the reason we're hearing it, because he was born on this day in 1912.
Okay.
And here it is. This land is your land. We hope you have a beautiful day.
By the way, his son, Arlo Guthrie, is playing the festival this year.
At the festival.
A little bit of history.
There you go. This is a part of This Land Is Your Land. Have a beautiful day.
Bye.
This land is your